Hey, this is February 18th, and the topic this month is From Where It Is Now.
Good evening. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. When we say that, or when I say that, that means that we are connected to this thing that we call God. God and you and I are all the same thing. There's no separation whatsoever in the universe. Everything is interconnected. And everything we say was made from this power for good, or this thing that we call God. Therefore, we must be a power for good, and we must be some part of this thing called God. We used to say that all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because the rest of us are people, are God. The chair is God, the floor is God, the ceiling is God. Everything is God. It's all made from the same stuff or from God stuff. And that is one of the basic tenets of this teaching, or of metaphysics, that it's a teaching of unity, not a teaching of separation. Brand name churches are a teaching of separation. They say you and God, and they put God outside of you someplace as a different entity altogether. And what we're saying is we are all God, and we are one with God, and we are in unity with everything in the universe. So we'll go to the little page that I handed out tonight. This is still from that book, and I did this because of Paula wanting to know about metaphysics. And this is unity and multiplicity. Unity and multiplicity are talked about all the time in metaphysics. So we'll go through this. Consider the effects of belief about unity and multiplicity in the universe. Some people believe there are two spiritual powers at work in the universe, and one for good and one for evil. The effect on their experience is that they sometimes hope for and see good in things, but other times fear evil in themselves, in others, and in situations. That's that whole idea of the devil and so forth, which brand name churches teach, that there's also a devil that was thrown out of heaven and now is in competition with God. Metaphysics, we know there is no such thing as competition. There is only creativity. So that we want to know. They sometimes have hope and act from hope, but other times they fear and act from fear. They see the various forms in the world as expressing the battle between good and evil. They tend to praise what they like and condemn what they don't like. That is the world itself, and that's what we call race mind. Race mind is always split in two. It sees good and it sees evil. Although we do not deny the presence of evil, we look at it as an illusion, and that's all evil is an illusion. I had a friend years ago, her name is Mrs. Grotch, and she said to me, Dallas, there's always enough good in people to cover up the bad. And that's what we're always looking for, the good in people. And to see enough good in people to cover up the bad. Makes life much easier when you do that. Most people concentrate on the bad. Oh, that person drinks. Oh, that person does this. Oh, that person does that. We are never only one thing. We are all things. We are never only one thing. We are all things. Other people believe in only one spiritual power in the universe, one good power. The effect on their experience is that they look for possibilities of good in themselves, in others, and in all circumstances. Repeat that, please. Possibilities of good in themselves. See the possibility of good in yourself. Make that little mind of yours tell you how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are, instead of letting it tell you of all your shortcomings. Here again, we all have shortcomings. Do not concentrate on your shortcomings. I had a friend, Betty, you often hear me talk about her, and she has made her transition. And we used to talk quite a bit about things, and I was always concerned with all the things I don't know. And she one day looked at me and she said, "Dallas, why don't you remember all the things you do know?" You see? And that's what we must remember. We think we're stupid. We think we're this. We don't know that. But look at all the stuff that we do know. And concentrate on what you do know, not on what you don't know. You can learn that other stuff. You can do it. But your mind always wants to pick you apart. Your mind will not tell you, "Oh, you were very good at that." It usually tells you, "You could have done better. You could have, oh, that should have, you should have approached that better." I don't lately have that, but when I used to give talks and so forth, as soon as I was finished with the talk and I got in the car, my mind immediately says, "Well, now, Dallas, you said that wrong, you did this wrong, you did this, you should have said this, you should have done this, you should have done that." So I had to tell my mind to shut up, you see, because it wants to pick you apart. Why that is, I have no idea, but it wants to pick you apart. Therefore, tend to make the best of all circumstances, which is what we're always trying to do. Make the best of every circumstance. This is an event that's going on in your life. This is perhaps the only time that you will have this experience. So why do you want to see it not as the most wonderful experience that you can have, instead of picking it apart? Unity. Metaphysics teaches that there is one power, God the good. Unity metaphysicians see the variety of things in the universe as ultimately one with God, an expression of the one divine mind. And that's what we're always seeing, the one divine mind. Remember, there's not your mind and my mind, there is only one mind. And we're all using the mind of God. Although we look like we're individualized, we are using the mind of God. If there was more than one mind, you wouldn't be seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. If you had a mind that wasn't connected to the mind of God, you'd be seeing something else. So when I look at a tree, I see a tree. You look at the tree, you see a tree. You don't see a chair. You see? Unity metaphysics tends to behold the goodness and the beauty in things. What appears to be bad can be transformed for good. And that's what we're doing. We're always transforming ourselves. We're always transforming events. We're transforming anything that comes into your life. And that's the whole idea. Metaphysicians are also alchemists. They change. They change their emotions. They change their attitudes. We change things, so we are alchemists. The New Testament refers to a belief in an evil power, but the Gospel of John explains the metaphysical significance of the devil. Referring to the devil, Jesus said, "There is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies." To say there is no truth in him is to say there is no reality in him. Truth. If there's no truth in anything, there's no reality. What is reality? Reality is the truth that there is only God. The devil is an illusion, a belief in two powers, a belief in separation from God. That belief is the source of all lies, all other illusions. To put it another way, if God is all-powerful, then there can be no other real power. If God is everywhere present, then there can be no room for any other real presence. The nature of an illusion is that it appears to be substantial, but it is not. And we use that whole thing. Remember, fear. Fear is the false appearance of something appearing real. So we don't want to do fear. We always want to do God, we always want to do love, and we always want to see one thing. But we have to train ourselves to do that. The world likes to talk you out of that. Race mind likes to talk you out of that. And your own mind likes to talk you out of that. But you must talk yourself into it. That is the wonderful power And this whole teaching is to learn to think the thought that you want to think and learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. And whether you know this or not or have experienced in your own life, you are creating your reality. You're creating your reality with your thinking. So whatever you're thinking about, you're going to bring about. The title for this month was From Where It Is Now. Now that not only means the wealth and other stuff that you want in your life is already done in the mind of God. It must also be in your mind. And it is already done. Anything that came into this plane of action came into this plane of action because of a thought. So we must learn to control our thinking. We must learn to control our thoughts and change our mind about things. Yes, we're conditioned. We're puppets of our conditioning. We see and think evil all the time. I get a telephone call almost every day, which I hang up on, and it's from the FBI trying to tell me how many break-ins there are. And it must be to sell them. Alarm system or something. I just hang up on those people. We do not want to believe that. Those things happen. I am not saying that they don't happen, but they do not happen to you if you keep your mind stayed on this thing called God. They do not happen to you. Now, there's an old saying about two metaphysicians. What would two metaphysicians do if they were in a dark alley and somebody came at them with a knife or a gun? What is the answer to that question? What would two metaphysicians do? Two metaphysicians would never be in a dark alley where that could happen. If you're metaphysical, you don't go there. I don't lock my car. My car is not locked right now. But if I were in Watts, I'd lock the damn car. Why? Because as much as I can think, I'm also influenced by a thought atmosphere that surrounds Watts. And I'm not powerful enough at the present moment to deny that. So I lock the car. That is the whole idea of using wisdom. You must use wisdom with this teaching. We have so many people come into this teaching and they think it's an airy-fairy thing and they think it's magic and they think it's this, that, and the other thing. It appears to be mystical and magical, but it's done with your mind and it's done through you and what you are thinking, not what I or anybody else is thinking. So you have to remember that. So let's go on. Let's talk about it when I said from where it is now. If you're not feeling well or you're in bad health, where is your health? Your health is in mind. It is in the mind of God because the mind of God only sees you as perfection. So you must change your thinking and bring it into a line with that from where it is now. Where it is now is in perfect health. Where you are right now may not be so, but you have to bring it into your life. You have to bring it into your life. I had a student or a client that came to me about 3 years ago, completely stressed out, crying, and all that kind of stuff. And she wanted to start her own business, but she had to leave this business that she was in. Now, it was going to be the same type of business, something about musicians and music and so forth, that she would have a stable of these people, and if television or radio or movies wanted a song, they had to get it from her. And there is I don't know what that business is called, but that business. So she was worried about leaving because of the money, leaving the place where she learned it. And I explained to her there's no such thing as competition. You know, well, there's not many people doing this, and she has all the artists. I said, well, that's impossible. She could not have all the artists. You have to make your own artists, and you have to start your own business, and you have to know that the universe is going to send you the artists that are yours, and let the other woman hear the artist as it is. We're never taking anything from anybody. So the first year she went into business, she did fine. She made over $100,000 the first year, grossed $100,000. I saw her last Friday. She came to tell me that she closed out the year, this year, after 3 years, she grossed $1.5 million. $1.5 million. Where did it come from, the whole thing? It came from where it is now. It came first, an idea. She had an idea. She was afraid of the idea. She didn't think it was solid enough. You must know, if you get an idea, it is an idea from God. It is a divine idea. Now, you can ask for the strength, you can ask for it to develop, you can ask for all that stuff when you get an idea. And this mind that we live, move, and have our being in will supply that for you. But if you start to think, what about the competition, what about this, what about that, it is not going to work for you. So it's already done. And it came to her out of her own mind and out of the mind of God. And she was able to build, and will probably keep building and building and building, because there's no end to this thing. Once you start getting something rolling, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. So don't give up. If you have an idea, then you're... As I said 2 weeks ago when I was here, you must put clothes on that idea. You must make it solid so that it dwells among you. And you keep doing that by adding more ideas, by adding more things, by getting more information, by doing all the work that is necessary. And it will develop in your life. It will manifest in your life because it's already done in the mind of God. So that's what we mean, and you have to have it already done in your mind. So it comes from where it is now. It comes from where it is now. You know, so many people believe that a thought is the highest form of life you can have, because thoughts have a life of their own. Not like ours, but they have a life. So when you want something, think about that. Think, where is it? Well, it's in my mind somewhere, or it's in the mind of God. It's in the universe somewhere. And the only thing that is keeping it from me is my own thinking, my own negation. So you have to set yourself down and do what? Go through all the things that your mind is telling you and get rid of them. All the things that your mind is telling you. 2 weeks ago, I said, why are you repeating yourself? Why are you looking back? Why do you keep bringing up the past and so forth? That's reading the same book over and over and over again. And you don't do that, do you? Even a good book. You may read a good book twice, but you don't read it the rest of your life. Because you don't read it the rest of your life. So when something happens to you, get rid of anything from the past. Just get rid of that stuff. It makes no difference. And start over every day. You have to start over. You have to make things new for yourself. You have to build your character. You have to build your mind power. And that's what we fail to do. We think that this thing called God is going to drop something in our laps. It is not going to do that. And I use this many times, and I've said this before. Many people say, oh, yes, but God feeds the birds. That's absolutely true. God feeds the birds, but he does not drop the worm in their mouth. They must go out and look for the worm. The worms are there. What you are looking for is there. You must go find it and bring it to you. That's how this whole teaching is evolved. Many people come in to religious science, and they read the book Science of Mind. In the book Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says Please, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Many people think that you can get rich by reading the book. You can get rich by using your mind, but it is not a get-rich-quick scheme. You must develop that. You must develop your mind power. You must develop your belief in yourself, in the universe. You must do that, knowing that you can have what you want, that it is there for you, and you're not taking it from anybody else. And that's the most marvelous thing, see? When you know that you're not taking from anybody else, you get rid of competition. There's no such thing as competition. You are doing it yourself. You are an individual. So, think in your own mind, what am I doing that I'm not getting this? And what are the four things that, it's funny, that's as hot as it's ever been in here, isn't it? So, what is it that you really want? You have to sit down and ask yourself that question. Wait for the answer. And then see what your mind says. And what are the four things that you must know about yourself? So, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It's always going to be those four items. Always. And that's why we do the matter dance. That's why we do all that stuff. Because our mind immediately forgets that. Because we're not used to hearing it. The world does not teach it. Other institutions do not teach that. There's wonderful things out now and books out about the mind and how the mind operates and all. I think one's called Mind Power that's out. I haven't read it. But we can now prove how powerful our mind is and how we can change it. We know now, we used to have that expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And that's an out-and-out lie. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Then what was the other one that we learned about the brain always? That you were killing off brain cells. Brain cells do die, but new ones immediately appear. The cells beside brain cells that die immediately pick up the memory from the brain cell so that you would, otherwise you'd have to learn to walk. Every day you'd have to learn to walk over again. So the mind is a very, very wonderful thing, and it develops throughout your life. We think that it doesn't. We think that it stops. It does not stop. You can memorize things. You can keep going all your life. My friend on Monday made his transition. He was 94. And he learned all his life. He was a dancer. And he never gave up dancing. And his mind kept sharp. We can keep our mind sharp. Yes, if you do drugs, if you do alcohol and so forth, you're going to kill off some of your brain cells. But new ones are going to come. New ones are going to come. So give that old false idea up. That's another one of the lies that we have been taught about our brain. This brain, this mind, is a wonderful thing. It can do everything that you want it to do. So when we say it comes from where it is now, it comes from your mind. Everything is in your mind. Everything is in the mind of God. Everything starts with a thought. Everything starts with an idea. And it goes out from there. So what are you thinking about yourself always? How are you holding yourself? Not how other people see you. How do you see yourself? Are you able to forgive yourself? Are you able to say nice and wonderful things to yourself all day long? At the end of the day, and when you empty your pockets, do you empty your mind of all the garbage? know, if you have pockets at nighttime and you're pulling out your wallet or your change and all that kind of stuff, as you're doing that, also empty your mind of all the stuff that went on that day, so that you can not only have a restful sleep, that you can wake up in the morning without all that stuff still attached to you. See, we carry too many things all the time. We're always carrying all the weight and all the stuff around. We do not have to do that to ourselves. We can learn to free ourselves of all that. And that's what this teaching is about. That's what this whole thing is about. I know Candace is working on manifesting a job. And are you still going every day to Universal?
I haven't been in a while.
Yes. You see, you cannot only do it once or twice. You must do it every day. You must get up like you're going to work. You must believe that you're going to work. You must drive over there. You do it in your mind. But you must also do it physically. It doubles the impact. It'll work for you faster. Because you're trying to impress the universe. And if you say, I have a job, and you get up every morning and you drive to that job, eventually the mind says, okay, for goodness sake, there's your job. It just does that for you. But we don't. We think, oh, no, we can't. Well, that isn't the way it works. I'm telling you, that is the way it works. I have worked it many times, and I've helped other people work it many times in their life. Always works that way. When I was getting my practitioner's license, we had to do three manifestations. We had to be able to prove that we were able to do that. The one was with a young man called Tom Talbert. He was a principal of a high school in Georgia, and he wanted to move to New Orleans. So he came to me. Well, the time had passed by for them to hire me. He said, well, you're not going to hire me now. It's past the hiring time and all. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true. I said, somebody could leave. Somebody could do this. And all. You cannot make these big statements in your mind. You see, when you make a big statement like that in your mind, you've just closed the universe off. So I said to him, have you packed for New Orleans? He said, well, no, because I don't have a job. I said, you go home, you get the boxes out, you put things in, and you write on the box, New Orleans. He did that. He gets a call from New Orleans. Some teacher left. Could he come? But it was for fifth grade or something. So he called me and said, well, I got a job offer. It's not the one I want. He wanted to be the principal of the school. I said, this is an opening. You go, you take that job. He took that job within 3 months. The principal left and he was made principal of the school. He was made principal of the school. So many people think that you have to start, you see. The universe wants you to have everything, but it has to work out ways for you to do that, you see. It has to work those things out. When I'm doing want something to manifest, I sit down, and I make sure that it's for the best of all those concerned. Then I envision all the knobs, handles, and things in the universe have to turn, have to make adjustments so that I can have what I want. Because if you got it right away, could knock you out of there, could knock him out, you know. And the universe is not going to do that, because it's always going to be for the best of all those concerned. So this is where we get the idea that God works in strange and mysterious ways. And it does. It works in ways that we couldn't know. When he got the job as a fifth grade teacher in New Orleans, He thought, well, that's as far as he's going to get. He'll never get to be the principal. Well, he had credentials. He was a principal before. Lo and behold, somebody left, and he got that in, I think it was maybe 5 months after he got there. But if we wouldn't have taken that chance, if we don't step out in faith and take that chance, it's not going to work for us. But that came to him from where it was, you see. It's always done in mind. But we think it has to be done our way. And we think it has to be done in our time. And what you have to have the faith to believe that God is working on it right here and right now. And it is going to come to pay us. God's not forgetting that. God's not saying, oh, I'm not going to work on that today. I'll let that go. And I'll work on that next week. I'm too busy. No, God is never too busy. Never too busy for you and never too busy for me. Why is that? Because you are God. You are God. And you must remember those things. I had a young lady stopped in on Sunday to see me, and she'd just come back from the Methodist church. And I said, oh, how was it? And she said, well, she had knee surgery. And she said, well, they say, you know, we have to suffer. We have to go through these different things. And I looked at her and I said, well, I don't believe that in the least. I said, that's when people say, no pain, no gain. I deny that one right away. You can develop your body. You can do lots of things without pain. Why do you have to have pain? There's no pain in the mind of God. There's no pain in the mind of God. And God does not send you these lessons so that you bear out and you do this, that, and the other thing. Whatever this woman thought that she got out of that sermon because her knee was not quite right or something, that this is part of God's plan. That's not part of God's plan. God's plan is for you to live easily and effortlessly. Easily and effortlessly. God is not showing you lessons to punish you in any way. God may show you things to bring you to a realization, but it's not for punishment. This thing called God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. That is absolutely a falsehood. It's absolutely a race mind. Do not believe that. These brand name churches are still out there saying that God wants you to suffer and that suffering will make you better. And what's that horrible saying that I hate? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger or something. Now, who wants to do that? Who wants to do that? I don't think that that's what this thing called God is all about. And that's certainly not what this teaching is all about. If you are having any difficulty in your life, it's not because of God. It's because of you. It's because of you and it's because of your thinking. So each time you are thinking a bad thought, which is not help you in any way, you have to get that thought out of your head any way that you can. And you put a thought in there which brings you closer to what you want or brings you exactly there. The wonderful saying is, all miracles are simultaneous at the moment of belief. So we're always trying to believe. We're always trying to believe in ourselves. We're always trying to believe, yes, this is a wonderful world we live in. Yes, this is a wonderful thing called God. Yes, God wants me to have everything. These are the belief systems that we want to go on. But we have to train ourselves to that. The world is not going to do that for you because it's going to tell you that it's hard, it's difficult, it's this, it's that, and the other thing. Let's go back to this young lady who made grossed $1.5 million last year, when the rest of the world says it's awful and the economy's bad. You see, it's an illusion out there. You have, what illusion do you want? You're making your own world, and you're making your own world with your thinking, and you can make your world any world that you want by just thinking. By just thinking. If you think that everything is bad, then bad is going to show up. If you think everything is good, then good is going to show up. I never sit around and talk with people about theft, about murder, about any of the atrocities in life. I do not want any of those atrocities in life to come into my experience. They could be somebody else's experience. I'm not saying that that they do not exist, but I'm saying they do not exist in my life. They do not exist in my life. This trip that I took to Hawaii, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. I put it off and put it off. Finally, the right timing came, the money situation came, everything worked out perfectly for me to have a wonderful time in Hawaii. It was always there. It was always there. But I had to bring myself to it. I had to say, I can do this, and give myself permission to do those things, to treat myself. I had a very difficult time treating myself when I was younger to vacations or anything because I thought, what? I wasn't worthy, deserving, totally level where I mattered. I thought, I don't. What did I do to deserve this? You see? Now you have to realize that just by being, you're deserving. Just by being, you're deserving. So, if you're looking for a job, do not give up. Go and look at that. Go walk around the grounds. Do everything you can. Talk to the gatekeeper. You know, make yourself familiar. See yourself there in that situation. What are you going to wear to work? What are you going to do? How do you get ready for that? That is building your mind. And your mind will respond to that. It will respond to that. I have another friend that I've been working with for over 30 years. He can manifest more things than you can shake a stick at. And he's very good with money, by the way, too. He probably has a million by now. He came to me 40 years ago, and he wanted a job in the publishing business. But he was living in Atlanta, Georgia, and he said, there's no possibility for me to get a job in the publishing business because there's only one publisher in town and they're not hiring. Well, I said to him, because they're not hiring doesn't mean that you can't go in there and tell them that you're interested and all, and on your day off you'd like to come in and work for them for nothing. So he went and approached them with that. They said, yes, come in, we'll let you work for nothing. And in less than a month they hired him. Because he knew he had the knowledge, he had the interest in the whole thing. You see? But his mindset was, with Peachtree Publishing as the only one in Atlanta, Georgia, maybe the only publishing company in all of Georgia, by the way. But now he's worked with the German firms. I mean, he has, oh my goodness, he's just zoomed with that. But you have to have that belief and you have to be able to start. It was always there. That job was always there, you see, from where it is now. From where it is now. So think of those things. But don't let your mind talk you out of any of the wonderful things that you want in life by telling you that you're not worthy or deserving, and that you're not lovable, and that you don't matter. And let me talk one moment about lovability. Most people can do deserving and worthy. Very few people know that their attitude is that they're not lovable. I have tons of people who come to me that they always want to find somebody. They want somebody in their life, a mate. But why don't they have a mate in their life? It has to be that they feel unlovable. The only answer to that question, they have to be. But when you approach them with, oh, no, I'm not, I'm, yes, you are. And you have to be able to accept that and say, oh, well, now I'm going to work on that. Now, how do you become lovable? You fall in love with yourself. You have to fall in love with yourself. If you want somebody to come into your life, fall in love with them. I think all 12-step programs teach that, do they not? That you must learn to love yourself. And when you learn to love yourself, your whole life changes and people come into your life. People want to be in your life. People don't want to be around somebody that's not, that thinks they're unlovable. You know, now there are tons of people out there doing that, but you don't want that in your life. You come into metaphysics, into this teaching, because you realize that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And you have chosen a different way to go through life. And the way that you have chosen to go through life is to learn to control your thinking and realize that the only power in the universe is mind. Is your mind or the mind of God. And that you can change your mind about yourself. And that it has nothing to do with the past. It has nothing to do with your education. It has nothing to do with your parents. It has to do with you. And you can find that answers to that by looking at all the successful people who came from the other side of the tracks, who came from nothing, who did this, that, or the other thing. You cannot use that as a criterion. The world wants to tell you that. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. You must get rid of that. Have you heard that in your life? I've heard school teachers tell children that. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. Now that is ridiculous. You must change that. And if that happened to you in your life, now it is time you say to yourself, I'm old enough now to let that go. They did the very best they knew how to do. And if they were that ignorant, then I say to them, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And you pick yourself up and you continue. And your life will change. You will change. This thing called life is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience. Does anyone know the alternative to this life? You're always going to be living. There's no such thing, you know, as death. Death is just another one of those events in life that we must all go through. But there's no opposite to life. There's no opposite to life. Death is the opposite of birth. And that's all. But life continues. Your life continues. So, do never, never, never give up on yourself. Keep going. See what you want in your mind and keep it there till it manifests. And don't do something just once. Do it and do it. Practice makes perfect. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.